Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A Mount Edgecombe High School student brought home gold from the Native Youth Olympics in Anchorage over the weekend. Nelson Canuck, a senior from Kipnuk, took first place in the boys' seal hop. Canuck covered nearly 135 feet in the agonizing event. Most NYO events, especially the high-profile 1- and 2-foot high kicks, don't take gender differences into account. The seal hop is one of the few that does. Canuck says it's hard on the hands.
You're much lower in a, I guess, halfway push-up position, and you got to maintain the position that you have. Your knuckles are curled, and you hop forward by moving your feet and your hands together.
The Native Youth Olympics began in the early 1970s as a way to teach and pass on traditions of Alaska's Arctic cultures. Every event has its roots in the past, including the seal hop.
It was supposed to be used as a way to sneak up on a seal, and because you'd have, let's say you'd have your spear in the strapped to your back, and then you'd have to get as low as you can to the ice so that the seal doesn't take you as a predator. And so you'd use that the seal hop to hop close enough to be able to catch the seal.
About 500 students in grades 7 through 12 competed over the weekend at the Denaya Center in Anchorage. Canuck was the only gold medalist for the Mount Edgecombe Braves. Michael Matthew took fourth in the Indian stick pole and toe kick, and fifth in the Eskimo stick pole. Jonna Bowker took fifth in the 2-foot high kick, and Mount Edgecombe's Forrest Strict won the Boys Sportsmanship Award. The Braves finished sixth overall as a team, with only 1 point separating them from the fifth-place team and 2 points separating them from fourth. You can hear an extended interview with gold medalist Nelson Canuck and his teammates Renee Romer and Vance Gregory on today's morning interview with Brian Hansen online at kcaw.org. Tuesday was the last day of operation for the Bill Brady Healing Center. The inpatient drug and alcohol rehab program has existed in its current form since 1996. Its closure is blamed on federal budget cutbacks. The center is part of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, which relies heavily on federal money. Bill Brady's last class graduated in mid-April, leaving a couple weeks for the employees to tie up loose ends. KCAW's Ed Ronco visited their offices as they packed up their desks and looked back at their time working for the center.
In the lobby of SEARCH's Community Health Building, Doug Osborne leads me over to a red and black blanket hanging on the wall.
So this blanket right here, at the end of the courses, they graduate people, maybe 10, 12 people at the end of this 40-day program. They do a really great job of honoring people, and they do a cradling ceremony, and sometimes they are wrapped in the blanket, so they really know how to send people off. And today it's about how well we can send them off.
Osborne's job at SEARCH includes running the Employee Recognition Program, and today he's planning a farewell luncheon for the 23 people who work at Bill Brady Healing Center.
These guys were superstars. I mean, they're really good, they're passionate, ethical, dedicated. They worked hard and did a good job. So it's a very sad day at SEARCH to see these guys go.
We are walking down a street on the SEARCH campus.
So their treatment house is over here, and then this is the offices.
Okay.
And so we'll just go and see who's here.
Inside is George House. The bookshelves in his office are almost bare, as is his desk.
Actually, I've been working at Bill Brady for 10 years now. I started out as a temporary night awake to earn a couple of bucks and liked what I saw.
As a night awake, it was his job to make sure residents were safe at night, that things were turned off, and that everyone was where they were supposed to be.
You know, go through, make sure everything's turned off, everything's safe. You count noses or toeses. And
and now he's the evening shift leader. A job that began as simply a way to make some money turned into a calling.
What I saw here was a lot of caring people helping others find their way. What made Bill Brady click so well is mutual respect for each other among staff and among the clients that came through, because it didn't matter what your background was. They took you at face value and let you shine, you know.
Lots of the now former employees at Bill Brady have stories just like that.
Hey, Charlie, I got you on speakerphone. The gentleman
House calls Charlie Bean on the phone, a longtime employee whose friends call him Carlos, and we find out where he is and head back down the street to the healing house.
Carlos?
Hey.
Okay.
Bean is in the basement, where he used to lead clients through art projects. He jokes about the uniquely Alaskan experience of using fish boxes to pack up your office.
No, we've given away a lot of stuff, drums and miscellaneous odds and ends, and a lot of it's going to go to Ravensway next door and kind of continue on. But
Bean started working at Search in 2001 and at Bill Brady in 2005. He says he's definitely had disagreements with the institution. For example, he laments rules and regulations that he says distract from the day-to-day hands-on work he does with clients, and he mentions spending increasing amounts of time doing paperwork. But he also says this is one of the best jobs he's ever had, and this team is close.
I've never experienced anything like it. I mean, I've had close friendships and stuff, but not a group of people like this that, you know, you come in and you jump on shift and somebody's going out the door and you know you've got their back and they know you've got their back, and it's just this, I want to say, seamless kind of flow that goes on between the people. So that's been special.
Bean says he has possibilities for work in Anchorage and New Mexico.
And I'm always going to interact with clients. It's just part of my life now. It doesn't matter where it's at. I have, you know, my life has turned into service. So wherever I go, I'll be doing service of some kind.
Of the three employees I spoke with, Roberta Kitka has the longest tenure. She started here as an intern in 1998.
I wanted to help people because I've been in recovery myself and stuck my toe in the door of doing my internship.
Eventually, she put in for a full-time job.
Showed up for an interview and said, I'm here to put my Tlingit 2 cents in.
Most recently, she's been in a supervisory role. Kitka says she likes watching the transformation in clients between their first day and the time they graduate.
We more or less serve the people who are throwaway people. People that end up making something of themselves. We've had women call us up, I have my kids back. I've only got 30 credits left and I'll finish my college degree. Things like that. And they're not throwaway people. And that's the way we look at it.
Now that Kitka is done working at Bill Brady, she's moving to Anchorage. Her daughter is up there, and so is Dina Akoi, a treatment center for women and children, where Kitka did her first internship.
And the two ladies I did it with, worked with, are still there. So I'm going to pop my head in and say, hi, I'm back.
Back in the community health building, tables and chairs have been set up for the farewell lunch. Comment cards for people to leave memories are laid out at each place. And Doug Osborne is standing behind a lectern going over his remarks. Next to him, a big board with the names of every employee. 23 names.
So we're making this night nice, but there's no way around it. This is a really sad day. This is a day of loss.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Schools from around Southeast Alaska brought their music to the capital city earlier this month at the annual Southeast Music Festival. The three-day event featured concert bands, jazz bands, choral music, and instrumental and vocal solos. Each performance was judged and received either written comments or a superior rating. KTOO's Danny Peterson brings us this audio postcard from Music Fest.
I'm in the jazz band and the choir this year. It's fun. Like, any kind of music, I think, is fun. Up on stage, I feel more comfortable there sometimes than, you know, in a group of people.
I'm a percussionist. I like it because you can do it as a hobby just to have fun in a class or two, and you can also do it as a profession and work really hard and become amazing at playing drums.
I play percussion.
I play guitar.
Percussion is just a fancy way of saying drums.
Yeah, I hit things.
I play bass, and I'll just sing.
We got invited by the JDHS band director to play a clinic for kind of like the educational music fest purposes. We went in depth and talked about music and making music.
It's a positive way to express your emotions. You know, if you can
write songs and words that hopefully people can connect with, you know.
Don't you let them make up what you want. That's a song lyric.
Why do I teach music? I like it. It's fun. It's like not working at all. If I don't care about, you know, the quality of what we're doing, kids aren't going to respond to it. Similarly, if all I care about is the quality of what we're doing and not about the, you know, the human factor in the equation, kids aren't going to have anything to do with that either. So it's some combination of both.
I always say to my students that it's not the rating that we get from an adjudicator that matters. What really matters is coming out of your performance feeling like you did your best.
The total program involvement at Petersburg High School is 67 students out of 161. The job is a combination of a love for kids and a love for your music, and you really have to have both.
I teach at Wrangell Schools. We did really well. I felt really good about our performances. You know, some of the kids were beating themselves up over a missed note here or there, but I told them, you know, you guys came, you saw, you conquered, you did a really good job, and I'm really proud of them. I just try to remind them that nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. That's life.
And that's all for Raven News. If you missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.